My freshman and sophomore years in college were tough ones. I did really well at fraternity sports and partying. My whopping 1.928 GPA needed to be improved on. And so at the end of that first year, I was put under supervision by older fraternity brothers. It was an academic fraternity. It really was. We had fun, but so for a year. And then I did make grades after that. But at the end of that spring 1981, kind of the bottom of the pit, found in a snowbank right outside the fraternity. I just was put my head down for a little rest, and I joked it off, but they came down hard on me. They rebuked me and said, "You could have died," you know, and all that just began a path of just, or that was the bottom. That my life had hit bottom, so I had a heart to heart with my father as well. I was in architecture and switched to city and regional planning just to make some adjustments. The civil engineering was a little tough for me. I don't know why, because I love math. So that's the difference between archies and city regional planners, was the civil engineering. But then that summer, a friend came back from the Army. Someone who I did a lot of crazy stuff with in high school, and he was at boot camp. And he wanted to meet with my family and I, so my mom, my older sister and I, he came and met with us, and he wanted to share with us about his faith in Jesus now. He grew up a Methodist, and he went to Sunday school once in a while, not as much as I did, and here he was on fire. Something had changed. Something happened when he was in the Army. He was dropping acid daily for quite a while. How could you do that? You're in training for the Army and you're doing that. I don't know. I can't get my head around that still, but he was partying hard, but he shared with us how he was delivered instantaneously. That doesn't happen for a lot of people. Instantaneously, miraculously, he was delivered, and Jesus entered his heart and his life, filled with the Spirit. You know, I was on tiptoe, just kind of expecting, you know, I was like, wow, I want that. I was on the same path, heading the wrong direction, and here it was my way back. I want that. I was excited. You know, and that summer, I was baptized. I renewed my commitment to the Lord, and, you know, things started looking up and heading in a better direction, and it was powerful, and I knew God had a place and a plan for me. I knew that He did. Had a place and a plan for me. You know, when God is on the move, we want to hear from Him. We want to be part of it. Hey, you know, I wanted to be part of what Dave had. And maybe you've experienced that too. When God is speaking, when God is moving, we want to be part of that. We want to be right in the midst of that. Is there a place in the family for me at the table? Can I be part of the work? Can I be part of the ministry? Does God, do you really forgive the sins of the past and the future as well? Do you really forgive? Is there second and third chances, fourth chances? Do you really mean that, God? I hope your faith, your heart is on tiptoe today. Because God has a word for us. Yes, about our baptism. God is speaking. God is moving. On this Sunday every year, mainline churches observe the baptism of our Lord, and what Lisa read, you know, one of the four versions of the baptism of our Lord, and it jumps from, you know, birth to childhood to in his 30s within weeks. But we know the stories. If we don't, we should learn the stories. You know, some reasonable questions have been asked about the baptism of our Lord Sunday. Isn't it just some ancient ritual and a liturgical calendar? Does it really make a difference for us? You know, in our day and age, what does baptism really mean after all? Well, Jesus mandated it. Go and make disciples, baptizing. It's crucial. It's critical in our whole life here together. And in Luke 3, we see the crowds, they were expectant. They were wondering about the anointing on John the Baptist. People were coming out to the wilderness to hear from God. God had been silent and God was speaking. The masses were moving, and not everybody was for it, but 99.9%, they're like, wow, is this Messiah? You know, is this Messiah? Was he the Christ, John the Baptist? Everything started down there at the river when Jesus entered the waters of baptism and he placed himself in the arms of his cousin John. Remember, JB is Jesus' cousin. And as he was baptized, as he was praying, the heavens were open, the Spirit descended upon him as a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." We're hearing that phrase a lot today. Still singing the anthem in my head. It's good. It was at that moment of baptism that Jesus was claimed and called. Claimed and called. Don't forget that today. Claimed and called. God's voice spoke for the first time at the river there, acknowledging that Jesus was claimed by someone special and he was called to do something special. Our challenge, yours and mine, is to remember the same thing. That we are claimed by someone special and we are called to do something special. Each and every one of us, no matter what age we are. And today, will we renew ourselves to this truth? You know, affirming our baptismal covenant. And we'll have a chance in a few minutes. Because at some point, someone, you know, God's, at some point in time in your life, God's voice spoke over you. "This is my beloved child, with whom I'm well pleased." Perhaps you're only a baby. Most of us were baptized as infants. We baptize infants and believers, and that's okay. But maybe you were too young to know there was even a God. But that's not the point. Remember, Jesus didn't say or do anything in his baptism, right? And we can stretch that in one of the versions he does speak, but he's silent. It's all what's done from top down. It was all a matter of God claiming him, just as in your own baptism. God claimed you before you'd done a single thing to earn it. You can't earn it. I love what Paul Tillich says, that salvation is simply accepting the fact that we've already been accepted. Have you accepted the fact that you've already been accepted? Believe in Jesus. Remember your baptism. We all need to understand that God, you know, and claim this, that God loved me. Even though, you know, maybe parts of my life I've been a scoundrel, and maybe sometimes still want to wander to be a scoundrel. But God loved me, no matter what. We call that grace, a free gift, undeserved merit. And it's powerfully visualized in baptism, this gift of grace, this grace of God that becomes a lighthouse for us when we wander away or want to wander away or loved ones have wandered away. Oh, be a beacon of light to bring us back. And that's what grace does in our life. "This is my beloved child, whom this day I choose as my own, not by their merit, but by mercy." And this is what God says to you and me. "I choose you as a part of my family. I choose you to possess divine legacy. I choose to walk with you through the waters, and the river shall not overwhelm you, and to walk with you through the fire, and the flame shall not consume you. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you, so fear not, for I choose to be with you. in all things, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, now and forever. I choose to love you whether or not you are always lovable. That's God's voice over each and every one of us. The message of baptism. One which should grip us and inspire us. It's a symbol that we are claimed by someone special. You are God's. Whether you know it or not, you are God's. He loves you. He claims you. Even though everyone else forsake you, he will never do that. And as was with the case with Jesus, so it is with us. Baptism says that we are also called to do something special. And the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And so the Spirit descends upon us. And as we believe, we are given the Spirit, calling us not simply to be God's child, but also God's servants and helpers in a wounded and weary world. And so much of that is going on, and God is using you in powerful ways, and he wants to use all of us in powerful ways to be his helpers in a wounded and weary world. And isn't that the power of this ritual? That we are claimed, usually in spite of ourselves. And once we become aware of how deeply we are loved by God, we find ourselves falling in love with him and all that he's about. We want to be about his business. We want to answer his call to serve obediently. Baptism symbolizes that we are loved free of charge. Someone special claims us and asks us to stay on with the company, to stay in the family, to be part of this church. That's amazing grace. And we become overwhelmed by being chosen. Are you overwhelmed with being chosen? You are worthy of that. He loves you. That suddenly we feel called. The Spirit descends as a dove and settles into our hearts, and we want to pay all our favors of grace forward. Oh, I want to get involved. I want to be generous. I want to be part of that. I'll sacrifice. I can live on less. I can downsize. Sharing with others the gift that has been given to us. And yes, by the grace of God, as I said, there's a moment we're all given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That seed that's planted within us, our cleansed and sanctified heart always needs to live in continuous surrender, though. As we are nurtured in the faith, and that sanctification. Is sanctification instantaneous, or is it a lifelong process of growth and maturing? The answer is yes. Is God sovereign, or is humanity responsible and free? The response is yes. Is God three, or is God one? Yes. Is Jesus Christ fully God or fully man? Yes. Is entire sanctification a God moment of divine cleansing and empowering grace? Or is it a lifetime of continuous surrender, cleansing, and growth in grace? The answer is yes. So believers are sanctified and being sanctified. So we have a lot of continual maturation, growing spiritually, and formation to become more like Jesus. And John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's important for refining us and empowering us to answer the call, to be active and serving. When's the last time we invited the Lord to refine us? Lord, cleanse me, burn away the dross, take away the tin, you know, spiritually. Because we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit to have control of us. You know, what is the Holy Spirit like? Well, look at Jesus. You know, what is God's love like? Well, look at Jesus. Look at the characteristics of His life. In Jesus, we have the full and complete revelation of the Godhead. And as we're filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is revealed, and the character of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is shown to the world around us. God is in control. The Spirit is in control. Not just to have the Spirit, but we are on fire in the Spirit, if I might say that. Wow, He's on fire. That's good. And John knew who he was. People wanted to, he could have stolen that you know, popularity. Are you Messiah? Well, yeah, don't tell anybody I am. He knew he was the Baptist. He was not Messiah. He was having an incredible season of preaching. Look at all these people and you know, popularity, and people were coming. People were responding. But then did you hear what Lisa read? He got in trouble with Herod for speaking the truth. And King Herod got angry. But maybe he was even more angry because John's life and his words pointed to Jesus, not to himself. He's the one. There's one coming after me. He is the one who was and is almighty, all-powerful, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's the one. Probably said to Herod, you don't, you know, I'm not worried about me, but you got to mess with him. You got to, you know, come before him one day. The one who claims us and calls us to something special. And the one who is present to fill us with his Spirit, prepare us daily for ministry, for life, for accepting we are accepted, for realizing when we can't realize that, yes, you're with me in the flood, you're with me in the fire. I don't see it, I don't know it, I don't feel it, but theologically I know that you are there, oh God. A last little story here. Johnny was always misbehaving in class, pulling pigtails and getting into trouble. So, needless to say, he missed out on recess quite a bit. He was sitting inside or banging, you know, the chalk erasers. One day he was desperate, though. He was sad. All his friends and classmates are out there playing around, having a good time, and here he's stuck again in the classroom. So he walked over to his teacher and he said, "Miss Jones, you're so nice and kind and patient. Would you do me a favor, please?" "Well, Johnny, I'll try." "Would you get itsy bitsy little and get inside of me so I can be nice like you?" And maybe that's a good, genuine prayer. Looking into the face of God and saying, "Loving Father, would you become itsy bitsy little? Would you tackle in my life? Would you literally fill me with yourself so that you are in me and I am in you, and so that I might become the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Jesus told his disciples, I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you. The world, you know, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So let that be our prayer on this baptism of our Lord Sunday. Claimed and loved by God. Living into our calling, filled with the Spirit. Lord, I yearn for your Spirit to be in me. I want to become the tabernacle of the Spirit. I desire to become the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm yours, O God. You have chosen me, and you have a place for me. I am a child of God. Amen.